Talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show is on the way. Before we get into that, we want to thank some of our underwriters that help keep the lights on around here. Talking about practice is made possible by Mountain Sports, providing outdoor clothing and equipment for hiking, cross-country skiing, camping, and just enjoying the great outdoors. Mountain Sports is located in downtown Chico at 176 East 3rd Street. Their telephone number is 345-5011. Also made possible by the law firm of Peters, Habib, McKenna, Jewel Rhodes, and Cardoza, LLP, specializing in civil litigation and criminal defense with an emphasis on personal injury and real estate litigation. Serving the community for over 100 years, the law firm of Peters, Habib, McKenna, Jewel Rhodes, and Cardoza, LLP, is located at 414 Salem Street in downtown Chico. Their telephone number is 342-3593. No further ado, ladies and gentlemen, TBP starts right now.
We're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice. It's easy to sum it up when you just talk about practice. I mean, listen, we're talking about practice. I mean, how silly is that? And we're talking about practice. We're talking about practice, man.
Yes, indeed. We are talking about practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show, the world's greatest sports talk radio show, according to my auntie out in Dallas. Shouts. We appreciate you spending an hour of your evening with the nonsense it is we do here, right here on FM 90.1 KZFR, Chico, California. I am Jarrell Gilbert, coming to you with another quarantine edition of Talking About Practice. I got my man Derek Isumaki calling in from Los Angeles. What's giddy?
Yo, what's good, party people?
And we got our man, the game killer, a.k.a. Stepman Brad, in the building. What's happening?
Shalom!
We're a little thin today. John has class. Jordan is working. But I wanted to tell all of you that that's not going to stop us from producing a show. Brad is in Chico. I'm in Orange County right now. Derek is in Los Angeles, as I mentioned previously. We are all doing our part to social distance. Even though Derek and I went to San Diego this weekend, but that's neither here nor there. We're still social distancing. Yeah, we're still social distancing. We have some sports to discuss. Granted, there aren't any sports currently happening, but we have a decent amount of sports to discuss. We'll get into NFL with the draft coming up this Thursday. We got some news. We got a North State update for you. We're going to discuss the NBA playoff picture as if it were still going on. And of course, we'll start with the Michael Jordan documentary, The Last Dance. Before we get to that, I did want to encourage anyone who's listening to go to kzfr.org/donate. We are doing our pledge drive. Now, for those of you unfamiliar with our pledge drive, we are an independent radio station, which means we're not corporate, we're not commercial. Most of our revenue does not come from advertising and underwriting. Much of it, about a third of it, comes from you, the listener. And granted, we know we're in very hard times right now. Many of you have been displaced or are working from home, and your financial security may be a little unsure. We're not asking you to give us anything that is uncomfortable to put you in a bad position. We're just asking for any help that you can, any donations you can make. We are a nonprofit, and your donation is 100% a tax write-off. So a little money back from Uncle Sam at the end of the year for your good deed. And it helps us do what we do, and all the wonderful programming here on KZFR. It lets us be this dynamically unique little independent radio station without having to sell out to the man. So we appreciate any money you can you can throw our way, whether it's $5, $50, $100, whatever you can do. I know last pledge drive we did over 500. We would love to beat that. We understand that we are up against a wall with many of our listeners, like I mentioned, being displaced. But whatever you can help us out with, go to kzfr.org/donate. And there's a ton of giveaways, tons of prizes that you can, gifts you can get by donating. So go ahead and check that out. We would appreciate it. And we know that everyone at our humble little radio station appreciates every dollar that our listeners can give us. So thank you in advance for your generosity. So let's jump in to last night's. We got to watch episode 1 and 2 of The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary about the 97-98 Bulls. Turns out it's about a lot more than that. Episode 1 and 2 was kind of setting up what we're going to see in the next 8 episodes, really kind of giving us the background of Jordan from when he said he went from Mike Jordan to Michael after he hit that shot for North Carolina. So before we get into the nitty-gritty of the first 2 episodes, I just want to get your general takeaway from the documentary. I'll start with you, Derek.
I mean, you pretty much said it already. It was just a setup. So it was a lot of, I was a little, it wasn't super, it was okay. It could have been, those 2 episodes could have been 1 episode, honestly. Because I don't really want to get into a situation where I'm just talking about how great Michael Jordan is. I already know that Michael Jordan is great. I don't need another pat on the back time around. I want to hear the nitty gritty, the stories that no one else has heard, because it's all the untold stories and whatnot. I don't need to hear of how much, he was such a competitor. He drove everyone mad. He's a terrible person. We all know that already. I get it. There's a lot of people out there who probably don't know Michael Jordan. They're trying to appeal to them right now. So they're building them up, letting them in the inside world of Michael Jordan and what he went through, who he was, how he got to become the legend that he is. But at the same time, I'm like, it was okay. It was interesting to see some parts of it. I do appreciate thinking of Scottie Pippen more as Scott Pippen now. I think that is a lot more fun of a name to say now. I think Scott Pippen just and Mike Jordan too. Those are two very different people than what Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen are. But it was interesting seeing. I guess there are certain aspects they're definitely seeing the inside of it, which is nice. Mm-hmm. But those 2 episodes I thought could have just been 1, because I don't need the whole, he was this amazing competitor. I don't need to go down that. I just want to get through this stuff quicker, I feel. I want to get to the stuff where it is, those raunchy stories. I want more of the cocaine traveling circus Chicago Bulls. I know Jordan didn't participate in that particular situation, but you know that there is some stuff flowing at some point in time during all of his years. And I want to get to that point in time. I want the dirts. I want the skeletons in the closet. I want it all out there. I don't want to, inspirational story of how amazing of a basketball player Michael Jordan is. I already know that, I don't need any more.
No, okay. That's fair. I have a rebuttal to that, but first I want to get your takeaway, Brad.
Yeah, I definitely agree with Derek about this, where we already know how great he is. I love the story about how he walked in looking for his teammates and he found them with all the weed, the cocaine and the women all in that one room. He's like, nope, we are not doing this, and walks out. But my favorite part about the whole intro of it is I learned a lot more about Scottie Pippen and what his role on the team was and kind of that whole dynamic. And to be honest, I didn't know he signed for that cheap of a deal with the Bulls.
That was laughable.
I knew it wasn't a premier deal and he was getting paid a lot less, but I didn't realize he was the 122nd highest paid player in the league. That was just sad. And how the Bulls didn't want to even sign him after that, I was like, that's the insult there was high.
Yeah, it's really his own doing, though. I mean, no doubt. He was the one that was looking for the type of contract that he got himself, So
yeah, exactly.
His agent had told him it wasn't a very good deal, but he went for it anyway. So I honestly, like I said, I don't feel that bad for Scottie Pippen and what he went through. You did that to yourself. That's that contract, and you signed that contract. You could have easily gotten your money if you wanted it. You're trying to play it safe, which, hey, good on you. Played it safe, and by playing it safe, you came in last.
Yep. And you won championships. But also got paid at the end of it all with Portland and Houston. So
I do want to say, so to Derek's point, he was saying we already knew how much of a competitor Jordan was, and we don't need to be retold that story. But also to Derek's point, he also pointed out that I think episode 1 and 2, a lot of it was for those of us who didn't grow up with Michael Jordan. I mean, you guys are a bit younger than me. And Jordan was even a little ahead of my time. His rookie year was the year I was born. So I did get to witness the greatness of Jordan, but I was still very, very young. I was in my formative years. He last won a championship when I was 13 years old. And I remember watching that game to this day. I remember watching the game and him hitting the shot over Brian Russell and all that. To the competitive nature, you were mentioning, Derek, how we already knew that he was this just ridiculous competitor. One thing that I found just so authentic, though, about his competitiveness, they talked some time about his second year in the league, and Jordan broke his foot, and they had him on a minutes restriction. And so he could only play 14 minutes a game, 7 minutes a half. And just how furious he was. And there was that game in against Indiana when Jordan starts to go off in the fourth quarter. And this had playoff implications involved. If they win, they're still in the playoff picture. If they lose, they're basically out. And Jordan brings the Bulls back. And they're down, what was it, one with 30 seconds left. And they call a timeout, and Jerry Krause runs down the GM at the time and is telling the coach to pull Jordan. He needs to pull Jordan. He's at his time limit. And Jordan's going off and saying, put me back in the bleeping game. I can't believe you're keeping me out. It's 30 bleeping seconds left. Put me in the game. And then John Paxson, they don't put him back in the game, and John Paxson ends up hitting the game-winning shot. And what I thought was just so cool and so authentic is so many times we hear superstars talk about the love of the game or playing to win, right? But oftentimes what they mean is playing to win on their terms. And what I thought was cool about that moment is after John Paxson hits the game-winning shot, you don't see Jordan just pouting because he wasn't in the game. You see him running out and high-fiving everyone. He just really, really wanted to win at all costs. I mean, that would be unheard of nowadays, having your superstar player coming off an injury, even playing him. You would just shut him down for the season. You get a high lotto pick and then bring him back the next season. And Jordan was like, nah, I'm playing. And they had to make way for him to play, and that led to his first playoff appearance when he dropped 63 against the Celtics in a loss. So I did find that part of it interesting. So I don't know. I as much as we did know the competitor Jordan is, many of us who grew up knowing the legend of Jordan, I thought that was kind of cool to witness. Go ahead,
well,
Brad.
Well, actually, speaking of that as well, I mean, the competitiveness that went on in his household, talking about his brother and him. And that, like, I grew up, I mean, when the whole Last Dance happened, I was 4 years old.
Yeah.
So, like, this is all new to me, but, like, seeing how he was fighting for his dad's approval over his brother, which was, at the time, the better athlete of the family, like, that was actually cool to see how, like, real and open he was about that situation.
Yeah, agreed. I thought that was very interesting. And to your point about Scottie Pippen, Brad, I thought that was really cool how they shed a lot more light on what was happening towards the end there. And I think maybe that we should jump into that right now. So during the 97-98 season, the season begins with the GM Krause telling Phil Jackson, this is your last season, you're not coming back. And this, there's so much to kind of break down here. It got so bad as far as tensions in the locker room that Phil Jackson, though he said Scottie Pippen was way underpaid and undervalued, he had to go to Scottie Pippen and tell him you got to chill out because he's literally cussing out Krause on the team bus and team meetings every time he had a chance. And not to mention, he was fairly unprofessional, and he got his surgery late in the summer as to rehab on company time and enjoy his summer. He said he didn't want to bleep up his own summer. And that's how bad things had gotten there. And obviously Michael was on there talking about how he thought it was unprofessional and didn't agree with how Scottie Pippen went about it. But I thought that was really interesting. Just the dynamic, how bad things had gotten behind closed doors, and thinking about how different things would have gone if this was nowadays. You have the best player of all time, Michael Jordan, at the end of the season, spoiler alert, deciding to retire because they can't figure out, Reinsdorf and Krause can't figure out a way to appease Michael Jordan, Phil Jackson, and Scottie Pippen, which is just insane. With nowadays, with the player power or the player power movement, and how everything basically changed once LeBron said he's taking his talents to Miami. Could you imagine a situation nowadays where a player of Michael Jordan's caliber was like, you know what? We're not going to figure this out. I feel like I'm just going to retire instead. That would be insane. That would never happen nowadays. Go ahead.
Yeah. I definitely agree with that. But the one thing I was thinking about, this whole the duo aspect of these two players basically grew up together, were drafted by a certain team. I'm thinking about the Curry and Thompson. Like, you have two of the top, I would say top 15, top 20 players in the league on the same team. I just don't see, like, that going down that way where Curry or Thompson are not the top 30 paid players in the league. Like, it would baffle me to even see that. One of the two were not even in that realm. It shocks me that the Bulls even did that.
Well, you think about it nowadays, that'd be as if LeBron couldn't get along with management and so he decided to retire. That would never happen. If LeBron didn't like the GM, guess what? That GM's gone the next year. You know, or they're coming to some conceit where they're going to, because think about this. Jordan walked away after his dad got murdered after the 94 season. I think the 93 season, after they won the championship, his dad got murdered. And that year, Jordan decided to retire and go play baseball, minor league baseball, for a couple of years. So those are 2 years in Jordan's prime where he walked away from the game, which, by the way, again, this is a non-social media era. Could you imagine if LeBron was like, nah, I'm going to go play minor league baseball for a couple of years? Like, that would be the biggest story in the history of sports at the time. Like, that's all we would talk about. And then to come back.
In all fairness, that was. I think we were talking about it. It was just, you know, I mean, in 93, 94, I was 3 years old. So,
right.
You know,
no doubt.
Yeah, it wasn't. Like we weren't really that invested into the you know, world of sports yet. You know, we weren't in that conversation, quote unquote. We just kind of saw the headliners. So, yeah, no doubt. I'm sure it was a huge news. It just, you know, was not getting disseminated as widely as it could be right now. So, no doubt. And I mean, we're just a news obsessed society. So everyone's got something to say. So, yeah, if LeBron decided to do it, I mean, he's not alone one of the biggest athletes. He's one of the, you know, big personalities in the world.
Right.
You know, so that would be massive.
The fact, again, that you have the best player on the planet, can't get along with the GM. If that happened nowadays, that GM's out of here. That doesn't happen anymore where the GM has the power, especially in the NBA, which is a player-driven league, where the GM can run off one of the top 50 players of all time, and Scottie Pippen, and, you know, who is widely considered the greatest player of all time, Michael Jordan. That just simply does not happen anymore. And you can't.
Great management skills.
Yeah, seriously. You can't imagine that happening. So I thought, my biggest takeaways from the first two episodes was I did really, like Brad said, I really did enjoy getting to know a bit more about the Scottie Pippen dynamic, hearing Jordan over and over saying that that was the best teammate and he couldn't have won those championships without him. And then beyond that, I did enjoy seeing a little behind the scenes how damn competitive Michael Jordan was. This isn't a gimmick. This wasn't a thing where he was saying, you know, this was before hashtag Mamba mentality. This is a lot of where Kobe got this from. Jordan was a bleep hole to his teammates at times because he wanted to win so damn bad. And that wasn't something that was contrived. That was authentic to Jordan. And I thought that was pretty cool watching that. Even like you said, Brad, with his brother Larry, how he was just, Larry said, I'm paraphrasing, but if you wanted Michael to do something, just tell him he can't.
Yep.
Then he would.
Dude, I will say, coming away from it, Scottie Pippen looks fantastic for how old he does. And I will say, I think he should now go by Scott Pippen. He looks like Scott Pippen. Like nowadays, he should be Scott Pippen. Growing up playing, he was Scottie Pippen. Now he's like sophisticated, looking fantastic, solid hairline. Dude, Scott Pippen for sure right now.
I'm with it. We got our pick three. We got our pick four, our foursome for golf. Ann and I got five on the way. And in our I Got Five this this week, we're going to discuss the five greatest sports franchises. No, teams. I'm sorry. So we're going with teams of our lifetime. So this stretches back to 85 for me and then for you guys a little more recent. And we'll get into that. But I'm sure one of us is going to have the Warriors on that. The Golden State Warriors of recent history were a dynasty. And I wanted to mention Ethan Strauss, beat writer for the Warriors. He writes for The Athletic now. But he is coming out with a book, or his book is just came out. But in this book, he talks about a trade that was done, except Chris Paul voided the trade. Have you guys heard about this at all?
Yeah.
No.
It was interesting.
So there was a deal in place that was a done deal on the Warriors' end to send Steph Curry and Klay Thompson to Charlotte for Chris Paul.
Oh, thank God that didn't happen.
And Chris Paul would not re-up his deal with the Warriors, so the deal fell apart. But could you imagine? I mean, that...
It just goes to show that nobody knows anything. They really don't. And I really like all the praise all the Warriors were getting of like, oh, this is a brilliant drafting strategy. They didn't know what they were doing. No one knows what you're really doing. You take assumptions and guesses all there, but they were willing to tear that down, give away Klay and Steph to get Chris Paul. It just goes to show that these guys, they're all crackpots essentially. And the only ones that get lucky, the ones that get good are just kind of lucky essentially. They fell into it. Sure, there's some drafting knowledge that goes into and who you to pick, but nobody knows. Even like all this credit that what Krause is getting for having Michael Jordan in this, he didn't really even know that. He just like, oh, some people were saying he's the greatest, some people were saying, everyone at some point in time in every draft there's somebody saying that this guy is the next great thing, you know, and they don't know. We just don't know. So the fact that they're willing to trade Klay and Steph for Chris Paul, who I don't know why, I mean, Chris Paul's only chance is joining Kobe Bryant. That never happened, you know. David Stern made sure of that, but this was they don't know. Nobody knows.
So when was this trade supposed to happen? What year?
It was the year Chris Paul inevitably eventually ended up with the Clippers. Year that they tried to deal him to the Lakers. They had that deal done. And then David Stern.
And they got X-Nade.
Yeah, because – and that was a whole weird deal. The NBA owned the franchise at the time.
Yeah.
And David Stern stepped in and voided that deal. So I think they were still in New Orleans at the time before they became the Charlotte Bobcats. If I remember correct, I could be wrong about that. But yeah.
Yeah, because Paul was never a Bobcat.
No, he wasn't. But it was that. It was the year before they got Anthony Davis. They drafted Anthony Davis 1 overall.
Gotcha.
So yeah, it's funny. And there was several times where the Warriors were close to doing dumb things. They were close to getting Kevin Love and shipping away Klay Thompson, and Jerry West came in and basically said, absolutely do not do this, and if you do this move, then I am leaving the franchise as an advisor because this is so dumb. Yeah, looking back on it, yeah, Jerry West was correct.
And he still left.
He left, yeah, but I mean, that was always going to be a part-time deal for Jerry West. He always came in.
Of all the people out there, of anyone that you want to take probably the word as gospel in terms of who's going to be good, Jerry West, probably the only dude you probably, at this point in time, can, I feel.
Jerry West, remember, was behind flipping Vlade Divac for Kobe Bryant.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. He was the one that wanted to get him, and I don't know how he made that happen. That's some magic right there. That's some wizardry stuff.
Yeah, maybe one day we'll do I Got Five Biggest Draft Day Trades, because that would be way up there. I remember that was a year or two before the Warriors decided to draft one of my favorite players of all time, Vince Carter, and trade him for Antoine Jameson. So
still makes no sense, but
Antoine was a good enough
draft to Chris Webber, right? Yeah, traded him. Well, you didn't trade him. He was a draft day trade. He actually did.
He played for us for a few years.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. He did play, yeah. Yeah. But still, traded.
But we did draft Joe Smith, number one overall, so let's never forget.
Yes, the good old Joe Smith, number one.
Yeah.
I mean, that's almost as bad as Michael Olowokandi, though. I think the Clippers got you bested on the worst first pick.
No, I think that guy, Anthony whatever, that got drafted number one by Cleveland.
Anthony Bennett.
Yeah.
Was it Bennett? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think that might be the worst number one of all time.
Yeah.
And we could definitely do – we could do an entire show of me just complaining about Warriors draft picks from the late 90s to the mid-2000s.
Yep. and then to finish off the show, we'll just do the Sacramento Kings picks from then on after.
Yeah, absolutely. just to let you guys know, I don't know why I was researching this at 2:30 in the morning last night. The last time the Kings made the playoffs was 14 years ago. And one thing that is really disappointing about this NBA season is the Kings were really making such a push the last month. They were playing their asses off. That team was really making a push to make a 8th seed in the playoffs, which would be huge for that franchise. And it's looking more and more like we'll never know what they could have done. When they do come back, they're going to have healthy Marvin Bagley, which will be fun to see what his potential is.
And a new bad draft choice, so, you know, it's all going to be bad.
Yeah. But the thing was, like, they were actually about to play the Pelicans in that game right before everything got canceled. Yeah. So that would have been a huge game changer if they did win that game.
Yeah, the Kings really had – I don't know how we got on this topic, but the Kings really had an opportunity here late in the season to make a nice little push for the playoffs, and I think that would have been so uplifting for that franchise, for the fans, for those young players. Even if you get bounced, you know, even if you get swept in a four-game series against, you know, the Lakers, at least you're getting your guys in the playoffs, you know, you're giving them some playoff minutes, getting them some experience. I thought that would have been great for that team, but most likely we're never going to find out how this season was going to end up, which is sad. Which actually, let's stay there. Let's get into some potential NBA playoff matchups. But before we do, again, I want to remind all our listeners right now is our pledge drive. We know a lot of you are hurting right now, and so we don't want to ask for anything more than you are capable of doing. But we are an independent radio station. The reason we are able to do what we do and have very little oversight, nothing but support from management on down, is because we are independent and is because of the support of listeners just like yourself. So you go to kzfr.org/donate right now. Or you could always just go to kzfr.org and just tip the show. If you just want to tip a few bucks, every dollar helps. Every dollar goes to allowing us to throw benefits, to buy new equipment, new microphones, better, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it allows us, like I said, to stay independent, to not have to sell out to the man. So every dollar you guys can throw our way goes to benefit the station as a whole, and all of us here at KZFR are happy for any help that you guys, any generosity that you guys can share with us. So sticking with the NBA for now, before we move on, the playoffs would have started last week, and I just kind of want to go through a quick rundown of what those matchups would have looked like and what we're missing out on, what we wish we were seeing. So in the East, we were seeing the Bucks, number one seed Bucks versus eight seed Magic, Raptors versus Nets, Celtics versus Sixers, Heat versus Pacers. In the West, we would have got Lakers, Grizzlies, Clippers, Mavs, Nuggets, Rockets, and Jazz, Thunder. Now again, that's as we are talking as if the NBA season ended as the second it got postponed, and they didn't play out the remaining couple weeks they had left. Because there was some room for teams to maneuver. Like we mentioned, the Kings could have got into the playoffs if things broke right. But of those matchups I just mentioned, in the West, what matchup are you really sad we're not seeing? I'll start with you, Brad.
I mean, the one thing that stands out for me the most is the number two, number seven matchup, Clippers versus Mavericks in the West. Just loving seeing the double Dirks playing for the Mavs this year, seeing what they have to bring in the playoffs, it would have been nice. I think it would have gone at like 6 or 7 games, but it would have been exciting to see for sure.
What about you, Derek?
I mean, it's easy for me to say the Lakers and Grizzlies, obviously being the Lakers fan, but it would have been fun to see the Grizzlies in that eighth playoff spot, just because that's an interesting team. I like what John Morant is doing. They have a young squad that really could have had a nice, interesting come up. But also would have been a nice walk in the park for the Lakers too. So, you know, but yeah, either way, seeing the Grizzlies play would have been fun. Like I said, I think that Cavs Mavs would have been a really good one, but underestimated. I think that Jazz Thunder would have been actually really entertaining. That 4 and 5 matchup of Jazz versus Thunder would have been really entertaining. The Thunder, for some reason, I don't know how, it's Chris Paul somehow worked some magic and it was able to actually produce a pretty solid squad. And the Jazz, another team that, you know, they have a fun core around them. And I think that would have been a really, probably the most entertaining matchup was seeing those two teams, Jazz and Thunder, go at it.
Agreed. I think the Rockets, as a 6 seed, could have gave the Nuggets some problems too. And I would like to see that small lineup go against Jokic down there and see what they could have done. Even though James Harden, perennial playoff choker. Moving over to the East. What of those matchups in the East do you think we're really missing out on? I'll go with you, Derek.
I would say, honestly, that Heat-Pacers matchup, again, 4 and 5 matchup once again. Yep. The Heat are a really fun team this year. They have a lot of pieces around them that they can go far if they keep this. They're able to keep this core together. Some just lights-out shooters on there. And that Pacers team, they were finding their way, man. They were doing something special this year. They getting Oladipo back. I mean, a huge fan of that dude. That would have been a fun. I think that he would have won it probably in 6 games, I would say. But still, that would have been a fun matchup, I think, because I really like that Heat squad a lot.
Yeah, I agree with that, Brad. What about yourself?
I mean, barring everyone's healthy, I would have loved to see the number 3 seed Celtics taking on the number 6 seed 76ers, just to see what Embiid and Simmons have to offer. I mean, Simmons was actually coming to his own offensively this year. It wasn't what we were expecting of him being a number 1 pick, but just to see the 76ers go at it, hopefully steal a game or two in Madison Square Garden.
Madison Square Garden? You mean Boston Garden?
Sorry. Yep. I'm thinking of
TD Garden?
Of our North State update coming up next.
No, gotcha. I think it's TD Garden. Yeah, that would have been a fun matchup. I think I would have to go with the Heat Pacers as well, just because the Heat were kind of my adopted team this year. I've always liked what Miami does down there, and in particular this season, really seeing some of those younger guys step up. Bam Adebayo really came into his own, made an all-star team this year. Tyler Hero, their rookie, Duncan Robinson, dropping threes left and right. And, of course, Jimmy Butler, Dragic. That's a fun team to watch. So out of the East, that would be the team I would have really, really liked to watch. But we'll never know. Once again, this is Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show, right here on FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. So we have been doing some giveaways. We really wanted to highlight some of the local restaurants that have stayed open, to continue to serve the community and kind of be at the front lines. These essential workers are still at the front lines, serving food, hopefully taking off some stress from families out there having to cook every single night. We want to thank Bella's in Parkside, who have given us $25 gift certificates, and we've given away a couple of those. And we want to highlight another restaurant that's staying open and another giveaway we have going on. So, with no further ado, ladies and gentlemen, the North State Update.
He's got facts. He's got stats. And his name is Brad. It's time for Statman Brad's North State Update.
That is right. It's not the Madison Square Garden. It's the Madison Bear Garden we're going to be giving away this time around. It is one of my favorite spots when I was going to college and even today. My favorite food that I ever had there is a Grizzly Grilled Cheeseburger. Mm. One of my favorites. I mean, I love the Jiffy Burger. That's an odd one, but you know what? It is delicious. So, Jerome, tell them what we're giving away and who we're giving it away to.
So we just wanted to highlight students on this one. We know so many of you have been displaced without the proper resources to do online teach or learning. Many of you are graduating this semester, and as of right now, you don't even get an in-person graduation. And we think that the students need to be celebrated. So Derek went ahead and reached out to some of his connections and got the bear to jump on board. And so we're going to be doing a giveaway on our TBP Not a Game page on Instagram. Once again, TBP Not a Game. Go there. You can find out all the information as to how to enter to win. But we do want to make sure that this goes to students just because we were all fortunate to graduate around the same time, the three of us. That's actually how we all know each other, is we were in school together. And we didn't have to deal with any of the stuff that these students are dealing with. Many of these students had to go through the campfire and lose face-to-face classes for some time over that. Many students were displaced over that period of time too. And then, you know, follow that up a year and a half later, and now obviously we're dealing with a worldwide pandemic, and many of these students, like I said, just don't have the proper resources to be able to do online learning and are having to really struggling. So we know it's not a lot, but it's something. So we want to get you guys a free meal out there. And if you're over 21, you get some drinks to go as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And real quick, go ahead, Derek.
I was say, just to give a shout out to the bear for sure, and giving us this gift card right now, and to all the businesses that are out there that are still open, still chugging, trying to help you guys out. Ultimately, they need you to stay around. They need us to keep the doors open, to keep the lights on. So we want to give them a shout out whenever you get a chance. So even if you aren't a student or aren't able to win the gift card, go out and support them wherever you get a chance to. I'm not saying every meal has to go through, just every once in a while. Get some wings from there. I mean, like I said, that Jiffy Burger is legendary. I'm a fan of that morning after burger. Anytime you get an egg on a burger, I'm involved. So shouts to the bear and still keeping the doors open and keeping their fires cooking. So much appreciated.
And real quick, just thank you to all the businesses that are open, like Derek was saying. And if you have a want or a need to help provide for these students, we can give giveaways to these guys more often. Email us or even direct message us on our Talking About Practice page on Instagram. We'd love to have you and give you a shout out.
Absolutely. Once again, salute to all the restaurants who have participated. We've gotten more in the last couple weeks than I imagined, and I'm sure just more and more people are going to get on board. Thanks to those restaurants. Let's move on, shall we, and update the people with the news going on around the world. Derek Izumaki has some news for you guys.
When news breaks in the tri-state area or the world.
Breaking news. Derek Izumaki has breaking news.
That is right, y'all. Time for the news. Now, in these interesting times that we're having, we're being flooded with so much information. News is being around the clock, getting updates from number of cases happening to people recovering to people not recovering to what's happening, people protesting and whatnot. So much is out there. And I'm trying to find the news stories that fly underneath the radar, ones that don't get the attention they truly deserve, the ones that don't matter to you but matter to me. So here they are, y'all. Now, once again, scary times that we're in. People that we know are in really stressful situations. Whether you're sick or not, we're all experiencing some form of stress or another. But there's some stressful situations that are being brought on that aren't really necessary whatsoever. And because of people's bad planning and incorrect information that's being put out there. I'm giving a shout out to Sarah Antioch right now. who, lucky her family, has yet to be exposed to any of the virus situations that are out there. However, when she was perusing through her Facebook page, she saw a photo that said this entire family passed away, except for the youngest child, from the COVID-19. That picture of that family was of Sarah Antioch and her family. And obviously, none of her family has gotten the virus, nor have they died from the virus. So that's kind of an interesting thing to come across with. You were going through your scrolling through your feed, and next thing you know, bam, you're dead by Facebook standards. Wrong. That is not the case. She obviously being furious with them. The ad got taken down. All of the above. If you're going to be putting information out there, y'all, make sure it's correct. There's so much out there that's coming around. We don't have all the time to be able to weed our way through all the BS that's out there. So do me a favor. If you're going to be accurate about, make sure you're accurate about the news you put out there, y'all. Because, you know, you're affecting people's livelihoods and sometimes killing them when they're not even dead yet.
Real quick. Let the world
do that. Yes.
So was she dead or was she alive in this situation?
No, like I said, she came across where they said a photo of her family. So yeah. Her husband and their three children, the only one that survived, the photo said, was the youngest child.
Oh, okay. So yeah. She had died in the photo.
She
had
died in the photo. Yeah, the Facebook ad had killed her. So,
jeez.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's just like, I don't know why they didn't do that. So, not all good right. On them. Get it together, y'all. Get it together. Now, once again, I'm kind of bringing down the party here because this one affects myself dearly right now, and I think most of my counterparts as well. It has been recently discovered, probably have known this, but it really is now being hammered home by the World Health Organization and warning that the consumption of alcohol puts you at a higher risk of catching the COVID-19.
Oh boy.
Which is just bad news. That's really bad news. I'm not taking that advice at all right now. I still am pouring through my bourbon like it's going out of style. It's not for me anytime soon. They're saying that alcohol consumption compromises the body's immune system and therefore to adverse health outcomes. So they are advising you to minimize the amount of alcohol consumption at any time, even though that's probably not happening, especially if you're in certain places like Texas where the alcohol consumption has gone up by over 25%. So shouts to the people out there that are fighting the good fight and not letting the man tell you what you can and can't drink, because they don't know what's best for me. I can tell you, my bourbon knows what's best for me. It does. It knows. It knows better than you, World Health Organization, okay? You might have doctorates and degrees, but mine has been sitting in a cask for 17 years, aging. Okay? Those 17 years. If you come out with 17 years of knowledge, then maybe I'll consider it. But you got to be older than that, man. You got to be. I'm going to keep the news as easy as possible. That's going to be it for y'all. Keeping you guys updated next week on the happenings around the world that you aren't talking about.
Appreciate it, my friend.
All right.
I feel informed now. Once again, this is Talking About Practice right here on FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. We are doing our pledge drive, so go ahead and check out kzfr.org/donate. Get yourself some cool prizes. Help out our little independent radio station. We're going on 30 years now, so that's pretty cool. We appreciate each and every one of you, every single dollar that you are able to give us in these hard times. We are incredibly grateful for. Now, today is April 20th, which may not mean anything to some of you, but to others, it's a big day. Of course, I'm talking about Hitler's birthday. I'm just joking. That's not what we're talking about. I see your Jewish flag in the background, Brad. That is not what we are celebrating. This is the stoner holiday. So to all you marijuana smokers living your God-given California rights to smoke recreationally or medically, shouts to you. And we wanted to do our pick three, and because we're all stuck at home for the most part, we wanted to do pick three stoner movies. So these are movies based around marijuana. So we're just going to throw out some suggestions, and from our suggestions, we're going to pick three of them. So we're discussing off air, and we have a couple already. We have How High, So I Met the Man Red Man. In my opinion, classic. Classic film. Got blunt, got weed. There's a great movie. What else we got, boys?
I mean, you got classic, another one, Half-Baked, Dave Chappelle,
yep,
doing what he does. Another good one, Dazed and Confused, a classic coming-of-age movie.
Yep.
Especially if you're in Texas, you're going to get paddleboarded just getting out of high school, junior high. Yeah! The great one, too, Grandma's Boy, Pineapple Express, Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Oh, that one's so good.
Harold and Kumar, I feel worth mentioning. The other two, I don't know. I didn't really get involved with them that much.
I watched them all, but the first one's the best.
Is there anything else we can think of?
Well, there's the old one, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. That was a good one.
Cheech and Chong Up in Smoke.
Yep. I mean, I
before
really
our time
it.
Though. Before our time.
Yeah. Ted
Friday as well.
Friday.
Yeah.
Oh
Friday.
God.
That's a good one.
It's gonna be hard to pick three. I'm not gonna lie. It's gonna be tough.
Yeah, because for me, I have to have Friday in there. I have to have How High. And for me, it would be a toss up between. I think I gotta go Harold and Kumar above Pineapple Express personally.
All right. Well, there you gave your three right there. Okay. All right. So How High, Friday, and I'm sorry. What was your third one?
What was my third one? Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
Harold and Kumar. Yeah. Okay. That was it. Okay, so for my three, I'd have to go Dazed and Confused. Mm-hmm. That for me is one of my favorite movies, periods.
All right.
Great soundtrack. Yes. Yes. So good. For me, I'm a classic. How High as well. That's a classic right there that I got to have. It's either between Friday or How High, and I take it back. I'm going to go Friday because I'm Chris Tucker. Chris Tucker always wins.
Smokey.
It for me. So Smokey wins it for me. I'm going to go Friday as my second one. And my third one, I'm going to go Grandma's Boy.
Yeah.
Grandma's Boy is a
great film.
So funny.
Yeah.
Such a good film. I think it's the, even though it's not really technically Adam Sandler in that movie, it's in that his whole realm of people that do it. I think that's one of the best movie in the Happy Madison production.
Go ahead, my friend.
All right, I'm not going to go super in depth on these just because it's not my realm, but Dude, Where's My Car is one of my favorites just because of Ashton Kutcher, just hilarious in that one. Super High Me, good one right there, but also How High. Love that movie. Always a classic to go back to. So those are my three.
All right.
That's solid. All right, sticking with the stoner theme for all you 420 enjoyers out there, we are going to do our celebrity foursome. So these are the three other people that we would take golfing, and we are doing stoner celebrities. So with that in mind, who wants to start us off here?
I guess I'll start on this one.
Okay.
All right, so first off, I'm going to go with Matthew McConaughey on this one.
Solid.
Just because, all right.
Solid.
Another one I would go with is Seth Rogen, just because I feel like he'd be hilarious on the course.
I feel it, yeah, good one.
So, and then last but not least, I'm only going to pick one of them, and somebody can go with the other one. I'm going to pick Cheech.
Oh.
Just, I mean, he's a classic stoner. I would imagine a lot of the stories that he has are actually, you know what? Can I retract that and go with somebody else?
You can.
Sweet. Willie Nelson. I'm going to pick him just because great country singer. And he probably has some of the best weed ever just because, there's a country song saying, I will never smoke weed with Willie Nelson again because he got him so messed up.
All right. Hey, I dig that.
Done.
Derek, what about you?
I'll go for mine right now. I'm starting off strong right now. Dave Chappelle. He's
gotta
be in my group. I think it'd be a great person to play golf with, period. For going to Stoner Celebs, he's for sure in there. Next person I'm doing, Woody Harrelson.
Ah, good one.
Love me my Woody. that's what she said. but Woody Harrelson, for sure. Classic. Dude, like I said, my favorite sports movie of all time was White Men Can't Jump, and he is fantastic in that. Also, just a good actor in general. And I'm sure he's funny as hell. And last but not least, certainly not least, got to have a female presence in there. Cameron Diaz. She's coming along for the ride.
There you go.
So, Cameron Diaz, say hello to my Woody.
All right, I'm gonna go Snoop Dogg. I think that's a pretty obvious one.
Yep.
I think he would have some amazing stories to tell on the golf course. You took Dave Chappelle from me, which hurts really, really bad. But I'm gonna replace Dave Chappelle with someone much more attractive, and I'm gonna bring in the Barbadian princess, Rihanna. Obviously, got to get her in there. She's a big weed smoker. We could talk about Barbados. We could talk about me being her stay-at-home baby daddy, which has been my lifelong fantasy. And then I'm going to go Steven Jackson, Captain Jack. I think he would be a blast to have on the golf course. I just need to hear more and more stories about the 07 We Believe Warriors.
I'm going to have a substitute of mine as well. Josh Gordon, he's going to be on the sideline watching.
Right. Yeah.
He never get himself in the game because, you know, he can't stay off the weed, but Josh Gordon.
That's a good one.
Another honorary member on my team as well would be Donnie Nelson. After he was done coaching, he just started blinking like crazy. Love little Donnie Nelson, but even after he quit coaching, he got on the weed super hard.
Right.
Dude, gross his own, man. Living the life in Hawaii.
I dig it. All right. Let's do I Got Five. I don't have time to get – do I have time for the drop? We only have 8 minutes left in the show. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Okay, I have time for the drop.
Hell yeah. Boom, boom. Drop away, baby.
All right. So for this week's, we just did our pick three, our foursome. Now we got five for you. This week's I Got Five. We're breaking down in the vein of the 97-98 Bulls. We're breaking down the best sports franchises of our lifetimes. That is the caveat. So for me, again.
The teams, not just the franchise.
Teams. Sorry. Yeah. Thank you. That is an important correction. We are talking about teams. A single year, that team. Who would like to start?
Derek, you can go.
I can go for it right now. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm somewhat ready for this right now. For me, I'm going to become, you know, football heavy coming, y'all. You know it's coming. Here it is. Starting off strong. The 2015 Barcelona squad. That team that won the Champions League was otherworldly. A front line of Neymar, Messi, and Suarez. Luisito Suarez. Oh my goodness, that was unstoppable. And they won it all. They had, like I said, a great run that year. Next team I'm going for. My 2003 Panthers, the year that they went to the Super Bowl, that team was known as the Cardiac Cats. They had an incredible run where they had five overtime victories on the road. What an amazing time for the Panthers to be around. Also, coming off a couple years where they were removed, where they only won one game two seasons before, the way they were able to turn around was fantastic. Just something that was a team that really solidified my fandom of the Carolina Panthers, that 2003 team that got gypped by Tom Brady once again. However, we are going to be known as probably one of the most entertaining Super Bowls because of our halftime show. You got some Janet Jackson boobage. You're welcome, world. Next one. I know we're talking about those 97-98 Bulls. I got to give you their counterpart team, the team that they beat in the spoiler alert, y'all, 98 finals, the Utah Jazz. That Jazz team, such a good squad. They just had the unfortunate incident of having to go up against Michael Jordan every damn time. I couldn't get it done. I mean, they go up that often. You know, this is their only time they're in the finals. But
twice. They played them twice in the finals.
That's right, twice. I apologize. Either way, Karl Malone, John Stockton, Hornacek, that team, Greg Oystertag, come on. Legendary players left and right. I mean, just really John Stockton and Karl Malone. That was it, but still.
Oystertag calling him a legend is giving him a little bit.
Hey, double O, man. Double O. The guy was rocking the double O.
That's fair.
Gotta give shouts to the people that are rocking the double O's. All right, next team I'm going on. You know, I know they came up short, but this team that they put together, the Dodgers, the 2019 Dodger team that got unfortunately ousted by the Washington Nationals, the divisional series. What a team that they had. A team that was, honestly, it had a great run, top down. I mean, I love the way that they're built. That was just a really fun time around. And then other than that, sticking with my Dodgers as well, this is my fifth team, right? This is my fourth or fifth. It was the 2008 Dodgers. That was the team that me and my sister got really in behind. They went and had an amazing run and went and they swept the Cubs in the divisional round of the playoffs. And I was there when they swept them. And it was just one of the best experience, like vibes I'd ever been in. It was my first playoff game I'd ever been to as for the Dodgers. And it was, will forever be remembered in what I had to witness. And then last but not least, I got to go with the Man United squad that won the treble. They had themselves a fantastic lineup of Van Nistelrooy, they had Ronaldo, they had Wayne Rooney, at a midfielder of Ryan Giggs, they had Paul Scholes, otherworldly, a lineup of Rio Ferdinand and Neman Vidic. Great squad right there. So that's my five. Sorry, I went on for a little bit.
It's fine. You're good. Brad, quickly, we only have about 4 minutes left.
Yep. So I'm going to go with the 2000 Lakers. I mean, they were a dominant, killed the Kings in that Western Conference Finals. I'm going to go with the 08-09 Barca team. They actually won the trifecta. They won the cup. They won the UEFA Champions League, and they won the, what was it, the Spanish League Cup as well. And then I'm also going to go with the 2014 German team, the Machine. That was a great World Cup victory for them.
That's a good one, yeah.
That was a great squad right there. That's my third one. I'm gonna leave the Warriors for you. I'm gonna go with the 2001 Yankees. That was a good one after everything that happened in 9/11. Watching them go at it, unfortunately, didn't end the way that they wanted it to. But one heck of a squad there with Derek Jeter and Mariano Rivera. And last but not least, I'm actually gonna go with the 2007 Patriots. They went 16-0, and thankfully, they did not get a championship at the end of it all. Thank you, Eli Manning, for that, and that is my five.
All right, I will try and go as quickly as I can here. I took a ton of notes, so I'm going to have to cut these down. The 07 Pats, 16-0 regular season. If it wasn't for David Tyree's helmet catch, they're going undefeated and joining Miami. That was the Randy Moss team. Tom Brady threw 50 touchdowns that season. Junior Seau was on that squad. Hell of a team. 95-96 Bulls, that was the 72-10 team. Jordan, Pippen, Rodman, Kerr, Ku Coach, Ron Harper, John Sally, they had a squad. I'm going to go the 2017 Warriors. Of course, you got KD, Steph, Clay, Draymond, Iggy, Livingston. That was a formidable team. Also come in for some revenge there. So 17 Warriors. 2001 Miami Hurricanes. I just want to give you a quick breakdown of some of their future NFL prospects. Their free safeties were Ed Reed and Sean Taylor, all right? Their running backs, Clinton Portis, Willis McGahee, Frank Gore. They also, other notable players, Bryant McKinney, Andre Johnson. Their two tight ends, Kellen Winslow, Jeremy Shockey. Also of note, Jonathan Vilma and Vincent Wilfork were all on that squad. So my fifth then will be the 98 Yankees. They won 114 games in the regular season and went 11-2 in the postseason. And just one that's heartwarming for me, that I don't believe is one of the best teams, but one of the best stories was the 2010 San Francisco Giants. They're 19 games back of the playoffs, of the wild card, at the All-Star break. 19 games back, I'm sorry, in the division from the Padres. I remember being at a game against the Padres right around that time, and this Padres fan talking so much trash, saying you're 19 and a half back, that this season's over for you guys. The Giants beat the Padres on the very last game of the season to go to the playoffs and then make that incredible run to win the World Series. I was at spring training that year, and spring training was awesome. So that would be my honorable mention, knowing that they aren't an all-time great, but for my personal experience, it's the first time I got to go to the playoffs. And right now, man, I really miss baseball. I miss Kruk and Kipe. I miss falling asleep around the sixth inning, listening to them, waking up in the ninth inning to see what happened. I really miss baseball a lot more than I thought I would. So I got to throw that team in. We have about 1 minute left in the show. Derek, does that give you enough time to do a Grinds My Gears, or should we save it?
I can do a couple, I feel, in that time.
All right, let's knock one out real quick. Here you go. Oh, hold on. Sorry. Here you go.
You know what really grinds my gears?
when you pick the wrong car to go behind at a red light, like, you look at the car, you're like, that car is going to take off quick. I can see it. And sure enough, nope, they do you dirty. Looks can be very deceiving, y'all. They can be. It's not fun.
I'm with you there.
You know what really grinds my gears?
When people use their windshield wipers too fast when it's only a drizzle out there, all across your face and there's only a slight drizzle going on, what are you doing? If you only have one setting for your windshield wipers, then flip them on and off then. Do it one time and that's it. I don't know about you. I hate having windshield wipers on. I try not to have them on when I don't have to have them on. When I have to have them on, I'm only going across my face as little as often. And people that just like put them on and have them on the fastest setting, where it's like, no. What are you doing? What are you doing?
That's going to do it for us.
Game over, man. It's game over.